Chapter 4 is where we will be. I do have a little bit of a cough, I think from allergies or something, so if you can bear with me on that. Now, being from Atlanta, Georgia, I am an Atlanta Braves fan. Hope that doesn't offend anyone. But I am a Braves fan. I have been since I was a young child. Watched them play, watched them win the World Series 20 years ago. I grew up with that. But one thing I've learned as a Braves fan is we're always good enough to, well, not be good. The only hope I have this year, at the beginning of this season, I had hope because they were rebuilding that we would get at least win over half of the games. Now I'm just hoping we beat the Philadelphia Phillies at the bottom. That's my only hope this year because they're just, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, being a Braves fan, they're always good enough to lose. That's just the honest truth. They can be very good. They can be excellent. Almost the entire season, then they'll get to August or September and just dive bomb. I mean, that's the Braves. And it's disappointing because no one likes to lose. No one likes to lose. Vince Lombardi said, show me a good loser and I will show you a loser. No one likes to lose. We all like to win. And often as Christians, though, we act and think like we're on the losing side. We look at everything going on around us. We look at our country. We look at the world. We look at society and we think, we've lost. We might as well just, you know, pack it up, huddle together, wait till Jesus comes back, and hopefully we can make it to then. But the truth is tonight, we have not lost. We have already won. We see from the Bible that not only we have won because of what Jesus did on Calvary, but not just that. You see, the book you hold in your hands tonight, we already know the ending of the story. I don't know if you've ever watched a sporting event after it's happened. I never have. It's just not my thing. I'd rather just know if they won or lost. The game is exciting, but, you know, I'd just rather know the score. That's what I'm in North Carolina. I was in Tennessee earlier. I wouldn't have said this. I was kind of happy that Tennessee lost yesterday. And the only thing I saw, someone's going to hate me for this. you know, I saw the score at the beginning of the game, and I was kind of watching it, and that's all. I didn't watch it. I just saw the score, and I was just like, yeah, Tennessee's actually going to win this one. And it was disappointing. But you know what? This morning I woke up, and I checked all the scores again, and they had lost. It's amazing. But, you know, I was excited about that. But I've never watched the game. I've never done, like, recorded it, watched it later. I know some people do. Well, you know what? Sometimes you watch those games after the fact, and everyone else knows the score. They know what's happened. But you watch it, and you don't know what's going to happen. And it might be the third quarter of the game. The other team might be up by 2 touchdowns, and you think they're not playing well. They're not doing good. They might have lost. But so many people know, no, they actually came back in the fourth quarter and won it. Well, sometimes we sit as Christians and we may be looking at things like we're in the third quarter. And it might look like we're down. It might look like we're losing. But the truth is, we know from the Bible, we know how the game ends. We know how it all wraps up. We know that we have already won. But we can forget that. Amen. It's easy to get in a mindset of being defeated. I think again of China. China's a communist country. You can't get away from that. China's a country with so many people. It is, again, hard to imagine how many people are there. Just to give you an example, in China, if you were to simply say to every single Chinese person 4 syllables, Yasu Ji Du, that's how you say Jesus Christ in Chinese. Tell that to every single Chinese person. It would take you 43 years just to do all that. Big place. And though we can get the big picture, we can look at everything, the fact is that it comes down to where the rubber meets the road. It's where the people are. Because again, these are people. People with souls. People who will go somewhere. People like a guy named Ryan I met there back in November. And Ryan was a pretty normal Chinese guy. He grew up in a city called Shenyang. And he grew up and he had one goal in his mind, graduate from high school and pass his Gaokao, his high test, because that test would determine his entire life. You see, whether or not he gets into college is based on this test. If he gets into college, what he will study in college on this test. Because of what he studies in college, what he will get as a job because of this test. That is a Chinese person's hope. Get into college so he can get a good job and get lots of money. That's their whole goal. And that was Ryan's. Well, Ryan did well, and he passed his test, and he passed the test and did well in physics. And he went to college, and he studied physics, and he got his first degree in physics. And he said, that sounds great. I want my next degree. And he got his master's degree in physics. And he said, that sounds great. I want my PhD. And he begins to work on his PhD for physics. He's 25 years old. He has never met a Christian, never been to church, never heard the gospel. One day he met a missionary friend of mine. My friend began to witness to him and invited him to church. And he came to church and he heard the gospel. He heard that all of his sins could be forgiven, and that sounded wonderful to him. But at the same time, he heard, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You see, he knew that becoming a Christian, he could lose out on reputation. Because he would believe in God, being in science in an atheist society, well, that looked down as you're weak. He might lose out on jobs. He might lose out on prestige and so many different things, all because he becomes a Christian. And he says, if it's going to cost me that much, I don't want it. And he walked out. But you know, the truth is, that is not a story just for China. That's a story for Vilas, North Carolina. That so many people will come to church. Again, I'm from the South. I understand this. So many people will grow up in church. They will hear the truth. They will know the gospel. They'll know all about Jesus Christ. They'll know that he was born of a virgin, living a perfect life, dying on the cross for our sins and rising again. But they will still die and go to hell because they may know it in their head, but they've never believed it in their heart. Many times that's people who are very close to us. People we grew up with. People who are friends and family. Parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren. That they know the truth, but they have not believed it. And it breaks our hearts. And again, because of where the rubber meets the road, where the people are, we can give up and we can lose hope. We can think we've lost. Well, tonight I want to give you two reasons why we have the victory, two reasons why we have hope. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be in verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, it says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let's have a quick word of prayer and we'll get right into this. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. God, I ask that you be with the service, speak to hearts. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want you to see this. We have hope tonight because we preach Jesus Christ. That's what the verse says in verse 5. It says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." And, excuse me. That's where we have to start. We know that we can save no one. We don't preach ourselves. I know that in and of myself, I can save no one. I cannot save my son. I cannot save my daughter. I could not save my wife. I cannot save America. I can't save China. I could not save me. Again, because I needed Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus tonight, we have nothing. Excuse me. A young lady walks up to, she's in her village there in a city in rural China. She has not gotten past the middle school education, and she knows she has one hope for getting money, and that's working in the factories. And she's going to go to a factory in Shenzhen. This girl's name is Lu Yuan. And she's going to go to this factory in Shenzhen. You may never know about Shenzhen. You might have never heard of this city before. But again, to give you an idea of how big China is, this city would take North and South Carolina to make. It's big. And this city is big, and it is the industrial hub there for China. If you bought something from Walmart, it was probably made there. Well, she's in her village, and she wants to go there, but she knows she needs blessing. She needs prosperity, so she goes in her village and she walks to the top of a mountain where there's a temple sitting up there, and she bows behind a big golden statue of a large man and prays that this Buddha will bless her, that she can get money. A God who has eyes who cannot see, ears who cannot hear, hands that cannot save, but she hopes that he will give her money when she moves. You know, without Jesus Christ, we are just the same. We have no God that can save us, no God that can help us, none at all, because without Jesus, everything we believe is based on what Jesus did and who he is and the fact he came to this earth and died on the cross. Without Jesus, excuse me, without Jesus Christ, we have no reason to go, no reason to sing, no reason at all, because our faith is in vain. It is worthless. It is empty. It means nothing. But you see, tonight we know that Jesus did come to this earth. And by faith we know He came and He lived a perfect life and died on the cross. And as He hung there and said, "It is finished," He meant it. That all sins could be paid for because of what He did. Not just my sins, but all men's sins. That He died not just for me, but again for all men's. He died as much for me as He did for anyone else. And if we're not careful, we can forget that. The early church even had a problem with this. You see, the early church in Acts chapter number 10, they only went to the Jews. They didn't go to the, they tried not to go to the Samaritans, they did, but they definitely didn't go to those Gentiles. Gentiles were unclean. Well, one day, there was a man, it says in Acts 10, a man named Cornelius, a Roman centurion. A man who believed in the one God of Israel, but didn't want to be a Jew. And as he was there, he was there and God wasn't going to give him the gospel, but not through an angel. He sent an angel to him. But he said, "Go and find a man named Simon Peter and get him and he'll tell you about me." Well, Simon Peter was up on his housetop. It was hot. It was during the day. He was hungry and he fell asleep. And God gives him a vision. A great sheet rolls out. There's all kinds of amazing food on this sheet. There's a big old plate of barbecue there. There's a big old plate of bacon. You see, as a Jew, he couldn't have these things. Couldn't eat pork. It's very, very sad. No pork. No bacon. Very sad again. No bacon. You want to make food better? Wrap it in bacon. Bacon, you want to make a salad better? Put the bacon bits in the salad. Then it becomes, find the bacon and the lettuce. You know, no bacon for Peter. And as he's there, God says, "Rise, kill, and eat." And Peter says, "I can't eat that, God. That's common food. That's unclean food, God. I can't have that." God says, "No, rise, kill, and eat." And he says, "God, I can't eat that. You know I can't eat that. I'm a Jew, God. I can't have those food. I've never eaten that food." And in Acts 10:15, it says, "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common." It wasn't about the food, although we can be thankful today that we are not under those dietary restrictions that we can eat bacon now. We can be thankful today for that. But you know, it wasn't about the food, but it was about the people. Because you see, as a Jew, he wouldn't have taken the gospel to those Gentiles. Because about the time he woke up, there were those messengers there at his doorstep saying, "Hey, we're looking for Peter. Come and see our master." And he realized that the point wasn't about the food. Again, it was about the fact that God loves everyone and died for all men. Now you see, Jesus Christ came to this earth and he didn't just die for me, but he died for Chinese people as well. That he loves me as much as he loves a Chinese person. He came and loves and died for a homosexual just as much as he did for me. He came and loved and died for the Muslim just as much as he loves me. That there is no one on this earth that Christ did not die for them. And Christ does not love them. That we can never think that Christ died for us just because we were good, because he didn't. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that is how we know that God loves us, through what he did. So tonight you can find someone here in North Carolina. You can find him and say, "Look, Christ loves you and he died for you." And it's true. And you can come with me to China. It's a short plane ride. It's only about 15 hours. And you can come to China with me. You can get off the plane, find a Chinese person. It's not hard. There are over a billion of them. And say, "Look, Christ loves you and he died for you." And it's just as true there. And that should give us hope tonight that Christ died for any man, for all men, so that we know any man can be saved because of what he did on Calvary. But not just that tonight, you see. We have hope tonight because we know God can save. Verse number 6, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Imagine this with me. At one point, there was nothing in this world. I mean nothing. There was no time. There was no matter. There was nothing. It was just God. And in this nothing, God says, "I'm going to make everything." And he says, "Let there be light." Bang. Light everywhere. Yeah. That is incredible power. Now you just had some work done out here. Wouldn't it be great to just say, "Oh, we got to get that done. Let it be done." It didn't work that way. Yeah. It'd be great. But we can't do that. We don't have that kind of power. I mean, walk into your house tonight and say, "Let there be light." See what happens. And it doesn't count if you have one of those clap-on things. That doesn't count. But you see, that is how powerful our God is. That when there was nothing, he just says it and it happens. He didn't have to say it, but that's what he did for our benefit. Well, it says in this verse, that power to make the light shine out of darkness is the same power to make the light of the gospel shine in the hearts of men. Amen. That you see tonight, it doesn't matter how blinded to the truth someone may be, God can save them. It doesn't matter how hard-hearted they may be, God can save them. It doesn't matter how lost they may be, God can save them. Because again, we look at people and we say, God can't save that person. They're too religious. They're too worldly. They're too lost. I've talked to them. They've come to church. They don't want anything to do with it. Think of Ryan. Ryan walked out and he said no. I mean, this is a smart guy. He's an atheist. He's a communist. You know, he doesn't want it. He said that. He's working on his PhD in physics. I can barely spell physics. That might have something to do with the fact I'm from Georgia. But you know, besides that, you know, this is a smart guy. And we think God can't save him. But the truth is, we know he can't. Say, well, how do you know that? Well, it says it in the verse, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. You see, if God can save me, God can save a Chinese person. And if God can save me, God can save someone in North Carolina. If God can save me, God can save anyone, because I know I was just as lost as anyone else, just as condemned as anyone else, just as in need of a Savior as anyone else. Yet if God can show me I need a Savior and God can show me I'm a sinner through the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of his word, he can do that for anyone because I am no more special and no more deserving of it than anyone else. And if God can work in my life, God can work in their lives as well. And that should give us hope tonight. You know, I grew up in church. I was blessed that way. My parents gave me two choices. Go to church, get beat half to death. You say, well, you were young. You heard the gospel when you were young. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I was just as lost. Yet God worked in my life. God can do it for anyone. And that's certainly enough. Certainly God's word is enough. But you know what? I know God can do it, not just because of God's word, but because I've seen him do it. Ryan walked out and said, I'm done with God, but God wasn't done with him. God kept working in Ryan's heart, kept convicting him of his sin and showing him he needed a Savior, kept doing all this thing. He tried to go about his life, tried to do everything he was doing, but he couldn't keep going. Till one day he came back and he said, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what it means. I want to be a Christian. And Ryan got saved. You see, not just that. God kept working in Ryan's heart. He really meant it when he said, I don't care what it costs me. Because now Ryan's been called to the ministry and Ryan's studying for the ministry. And just to give you an idea, growing up the way he did, the pressure to do so well in school, his parents are not a wealthy family. It's the equivalent of, imagine this, your child has come to you, you have paid their way through college, you took out loans, hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans so that he could go to college. And halfway through his PhD program, he comes up to you and says, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be a drug dealer. That's kind of what it's like. Because it is an illegal position. And Ryan says, that's what I'm going to do. So God can work. So I want to ask you this. Is there someone lost that maybe you've given up on? Maybe you prayed for them. You prayed for them. You witnessed to them. You brought them to church. They sat right next to you. Someone you're perhaps close to. That you love them. You care about them. And they believed on Christ. Or they knew about Christ, maybe they even made a profession of faith, but now they're living in the world and you've lost hope. Well, I tell you tonight, don't give up hope. God can save them. If he can save you, he can save them. If he can work in your life and your heart, he can work in theirs as well. And if there's one thing you can do for them tonight, you can pray for them. They might not listen to you. That's the honest truth. Many times these are people who, again, they know the truth. I remember visiting it down in Georgia, and so many times you walk up to someone's house, you invite them to church, you try to give them the gospel, and they say, yeah, I know that. But their life in no way reflects being born again. And they won't listen. But you can pray for them, and they can't get away from God. And God can work in their hearts. And if there's one example of that, it's actually my wife. See, my wife didn't grow up like I did. I grew up with both my parents, Christian home. My dad's a deacon at our church, part of my ordination council just a few months ago, I was blessed. My wife's never met her dad because her dad ran off when her mom was pregnant with her. My wife's mom, from the time my wife was born till she was 9 years old, was always in and out of foster care because her mom would constantly get her and lose her and get her and lose her because she was and still is an alcoholic. But about the time my wife was 9 years old, she got saved and her mother lost her for good. My wife went to go live with her grandmother. Her name's Miss Evelyn Green. That's why our daughter's name is Evelyn. Miss Green, we knew her as Meemaw. And Meemaw was a sweet, godly lady. She loved Jesus. She loved the Bible. She loved church, and you knew it. This was one of those older ladies that just radiated godliness. But as she got older, she couldn't do as much. She couldn't get out of the house. She couldn't drive. But she could pray. So often in the middle of the night, she'd wake up, and she would get on her walker, and she'd scoot her way into the kitchen, and she'd turn the corner and open up a little drawer, and she'd pull out this list right here. Just a small list with a bunch of names on it. And she'd pray through each and every one of those names. I have no doubt in my mind, one of the reasons I have the wife that I do, who's willing to take two small children, first of all, put them on a plane for 15 hours, pray for us, and then go all the way to the other side of the world, learn another language, work in the ministry, is because my wife's name is right there. So who can you pray for tonight? Maybe you prayed for him for a while and you gave up. Again, I understand that. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy after years of praying for someone to say, I don't see anything happening, give up. But you know what? God can work. God's not done. I read this morning from Colossians chapter number 3 about the gospel, how it bringeth forth fruit. And the gospel will work. And we can pray for people, and God can work, and God can save. And the truth is, this morning, you may never see it in this life. My wife's grandmother passed away in 2009, never got to see her granddaughter go to China, never got to see all that God would do in this life. But one day she can. Yeah. You see, tonight, you may pray for someone, you may pray for them for years and years, and you may never see it. But can you imagine the day when God says, this is what I did. This is what you had a part in because you prayed. It will be an amazing day. Amen. Everyone knows the name in missions, William Carey. If you ever study missions, you know William Carey, missionary to India. I mean, on his business card was Father of Modern Missions. I mean, this is a guy, if you're going to learn about missions, we typically go and read his biography. He's one of the first ones. Everyone knows his name. No one really knows his sister's name. His sister's name, if I remember correct, was Polly. And Polly could not get out of bed. But she could write and she could pray. And that's exactly what she did. Can you imagine again the part she had in William Carey's and all those missionaries there in India because of what she did? And that could be you tonight. So tonight, don't give up hope. Who can you pray for tonight? Who is it that you've given up on? Start your list. And God can work. Because we know this, Christ died for all men. God can save any man. So who can you pray for tonight? Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you again for the hope that we have in you, God. I ask